Good morning. I thought I'd just start by telling you a little story. JL's gone, and so her vehicle is still insured, so I've been driving it. She's got an older 2001 little S10 standard, and it's kind of fun to drive. And the kids make comments about who's driving, who's smoother, who's rougher, and it's kind of fun. I've been taking it to work more frequently, and the other day I was driving in to work, and there's sometimes certain staff members are having to do supervision outside, one supervising a certain catwalk that leads down to some houses and things, and I drove past, and it was very evident, they kind of saw me in my new ride going by, and I parked, and I felt like I needed to tell them something, that, hey, this is my daughter's truck. And I was kind of pondering that. I was like, why do I need to tell them that? Why do I feel like I need to tell them that? Because I realized that I was being seen in a real old vehicle. And in my mind, I was like, I should explain why. Who cares? But in my mind, I felt like I need to tell them why. And so I was like, well, obviously I'm concerned what my colleague thinks about me. Who cares? But yet I did. So something's wrong. And it can be the opposite too. I remember driving a brand new Hummer at my brother-in-law's wedding, and I had to go get to Tim Hortons to get coffee for them. And I was driving around with this thing, push a button, the wheels were getting a little deflated or inflated for better traction, and going through the Tim Hortons drive-thru, and it was quite the thoughts that were going through my mind as I'm driving this thing. And got back to the house, and I almost couldn't get out because my head couldn't fit out anymore. It was so big, right? But my point is that it's amazing what happens right here in our head sometimes, based on our perception of what people do or don't think. And I tell both those stories because I think that both of them have the same problem. The same problem was I was really concerned what other people were thinking. Whether I'm driving the really, really cheap vehicle or the really, really expensive vehicle, I still had the same problem. And so it's not like the solution is changing the vehicle. But there's got to be a solution. There's got to be something changing up here. And so it brings me to this verse. It's in Galatians chapter 1. So Paul is talking about the gospel and his understanding of it, and what he's sharing with others. And it says here, I'm going to start in 1 verse 6. It says, I marvel that you Galatians are turning away so soon from Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I want to read this verse in the Amplified Version as well. This verse 10. But we can see here that there's a temptation to try to change the way they're sharing the gospel so that people would be more acceptable of the gospel, maybe, and more acceptable of them. But he's saying, look, we can change the gospel, and that's not what we ought to be doing. But more importantly, I really like this verse here because it's kind of defining what does it look like to be a servant of God. And I think if I would ask, do we want to be a servant of God, or who consider themselves to be a servant of God, hopefully all would say, I want to be a servant of God. I know I do. But going along with that comes a certain attitude. And so in verse 10, this is the Amplified, it says, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God? Or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I really think I like this kind of this idea. So there's this, I think it comes down to this idea of when we fear God, we really want to please him. We're seeking his approval. We're seeking his affirmation. But on the other hand, if we're seeking to please men, we're seeking to be popular with them. That's the one word it used here, right? We're seeking for their approval, or we're trying to please them. And these two things really are competing, right? In our mind, how are we seeking? Am I trying to have the people think of me a certain way? Am I seeking their approval? Or am I seeking his approval? Because his approval, it doesn't matter what wheels I'm on. But yet, why are my thoughts thinking like that? Like, Lord, I need to be free from this kind of thinking. And it's not about changing the vehicle, but it's, Lord, I need a change here. And I would say that we can kind of laugh a little bit about the vehicle story. But I think it's actually really important for us. It can hinder our progress in our spiritual walk greatly. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as saying it will actually stop some people from even starting the walk, if they're more concerned about what people think about them. And so I think for all of us, this is something we need to fight against and ask the Lord to help us overcome, that we're not concerned about what men think. And I'm not trying to be, I know there's a flip side to this. Of course, if we want to please God, we are going to be concerned about drawing others to Christ. But I'm not getting there. I'm just getting at the root of this, is that in our heart, our number one goal is to please Christ. And so there's a few passages here. Well, I'm going to stay right here in Galatians. If we flip it over to chapter 2, here's a story about Peter. And Peter, all of a sudden, a spiritual person, right, wants the approval of other, we'll say Christians, other Jews, I think. Verse 11, it says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul withstood him to his face, because Peter was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Who did Peter fear? He had a fear of men. And he was looking for their acceptance, and he wanted to be popular with them. He wanted their approval. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with Peter, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, so Paul gave him a public rebuke, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not of the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? For we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh was justified. And so I think the main point I want to make from this is that even Peter, who had a revelation of Jesus Christ, he had a revelation of the new covenant that others didn't have, and he knew something to be true, but because of his fearing men, when I say fearing men, what does that mean? Looking for their approval, he compromised on the truth of Scripture. That's a scary place to be. Can that happen to us? I would put forth, absolutely it can. And so, whose approval are we seeking? If we know there's something to be true in Scripture, and we're not willing to hold to it because we're concerned about having other people's approval or other people agreeing with us, that's a dangerous thing. We have to make a decision. Whose approval are we seeking? Are we seeking God's approval, or are we seeking man's approval. And when I say man, there can be different kinds, right? Mankind, are we looking for unbelievers' approval? Sometimes we're concerned about that. Are we seeking for the approval of people that claim to be Christians? Some of them maybe are. Maybe they're immature Christians. I don't know. But are we seeking God's approval? This has got to be our focus. We've got to get our eyes upon Christ and seeking his approval. There's another verse here in Proverbs 29. Says something here in verse 25. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. A snare is like a trap to catch a rabbit in or a fox, and it's like a snare. So when we are seeking the approval of others, Christian or none, but we're seeking their approval, it can be a snare for us. And it can catch us. It can lead us astray. We need to be on guard. There's a danger here for all of us. Are we seeking to be accepted by others? Or are we seeking God's acceptance? Not only that, I've read this verse before in John 5. And it ties into a little bit what Tim was sharing. John 5:44, it says, Jesus is speaking, says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? In other words, what he's saying is, you know what, your faith is going to be hindered when you're seeking the approval of people. Your faith is going to be hindered. We want to have faith. Well, we need to get our eyes fixed on Christ and say, Lord, what is your will for me? Lord, what is your desire for me in this situation or for today or whatever it might be? Lord, I want to do that. Get our eyes fixed on him, and that will build faith. But if we get our eyes fixed on anyone else, man, confusion can set in. And we're confused on what God wants for us. We're confused on what his word says all of a sudden because we're more concerned about what other people are thinking and what they might think about us. If I do this, or if I do that, how should I go through this? Lord, I got my eyes fixed on you. What do you have in store for me? It can hinder our faith. So the real key here to overcoming is fearing God. That is the key, to fear God. So we watched a documentary this week as a family. If you've not seen it, highly recommend it. I had it recommended to me by Jason on George Mueller. It was a documentary on George Mueller. But in there he said, when anxiety is overtaking our heart, faith is gone. But when faith comes, it displaces anxiety. And I really think there's something there because we can get very anxious. Sometimes at work, these thoughts can come to my mind, well, if I do this, that, man, different places in the world, if I say this or that, oh, we're going to face problems or persecution. And we're just worried about what people might do to us. But when I get my eyes upon God, and that he's sovereign, he's in control, and that he is a big God who can solve our problems, and he's got my best in mind. And I can just come to say, you know what, God, you have me in your hand, and I want to walk where you want me to walk, and you can take care of my future, and you'll look after me. It doesn't mean it's going to all be rosy, but Lord, you have a will for me, and if I seek you, you're going to help me to be able to fulfill your plan for my life. Man, it displaces all the anxiety. But there's a change. Right? One is worried about what people think, and one is worried about what God thinks. That's the key. We need to be able to have a fear of God, seeking his approval, seeking to please him, wanting him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's where the victory comes. And so there's another passage here, and I think it kind of lines up with this in Matthew 10. It's in verse 27. I'm going to start. Matthew 10, 27. And it says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So I think this specifically is talking about, one, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. And two, I think it's talking about just confessing Christ, which connects. So if we fear man, it's saying we're not going to share the good news. We're not going to want to confess his name and confess that we're a disciple of Christ or we're a Christian. Whereas if we fear God, we will be willing to share the good news. We will be willing to share what we've been heard in the ear. We will be willing to confess his name. And what's the key? He's saying, get your eyes off of those, essentially, get your eyes off of people who can harm only the outside, but fear him who not only is concerned about the outside, but he actually will judge our eternal state, the inside he's looking at. We got to get our eyes upon him. This is the key. How do we get free from the one? Well, we got to start to fear God. We got to get ears looking, seeking his approval alone. This is the key. So I was just trying to think, like, what does this look like today? So I've shared a couple. I've shared one about vehicles, right? What vehicle a guy is driving. It's not about the vehicle. It's about a change in attitude and heart. Like, Lord, when these thoughts come, I can say, Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, help me to be only concerned what you think. Like, he's not so concerned about which vehicle I'm driving that day to work. Lord, I can just give you thanks. I got an extra one to choose from right now. I can just give thanks. It's not about that. But I was thinking, like, even the clothes we wear. How many times do we think about what clothes I wear and what brands I wear, etc.? And that can go in two ways. Some people got to have the brand name to make sure I'm accepted by certain people. The other can be the opposite. I knew a guy, he would actually, like, take the patches off his jeans. He didn't want to see people he had a brand name on him. That was me in high school. I mean, that's the other extreme. Both have got a problem. Who cares? It doesn't matter whether we have the brand name or not, is what I'm trying to say. We want to be free from caring about what men think. It's not about whether we wear the $5 item or we got the $50 pair of jeans. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't affect us. Because God's not concerned about the jeans on the outside. He's concerned about the heart. That's what matters. That's what he's looking at. Lord, is my heart right? That's the key. Are we content? Whether we have much, whether we have little, we're content. It doesn't matter. We're not concerned what people think. So I can remember this one time. I have this tooth here that's cracked, right? A big chunk of my front tooth. Don't ask me how it broke the first time. That's really embarrassing. I bit my nail. A chunk of my tooth came off. Can you believe it? Anyways, I think I had cracked it before. But then my filling came out, and there I am working. You wouldn't believe it consumed my mind. I'm trying to supervision. Like, trying to teach, okay, kids, you guys should turn to this page. I just can't wait to get to the dentist to get that tooth fixed. Like, it consumed my mind. At the same time, that caused me to be sympathetic toward others who have different things that they can struggle with. But the Lord wants us to be free from that. I'm not saying it's wrong to get your tooth fixed. I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of ourselves. We talked as a family about some of these very things this week. It's like, you know, we want to take care of ourselves. We want to present ourselves, but we don't want it to consume us. Is this what's in our mind? Yeah, we should have a shower. Yeah, it's good to comb your hair, but does it really matter to God? No, but we just try to take care of ourselves, but it doesn't consume us. Our focus is on Jesus. He's looking at the inside, right? But more importantly, right, do we compromise his word? Right? Do we compromise because we're seeking men's approval? Or do we put into practice what we know to be true because we seek God's approval? This is the difference between life and death. There's a difference here. Because we really love him and we want his approval. And he's the one, like, really, what? I don't mean this in a bad way, but my colleague, like, how much do they really love me? Like, have I ever seen them outside of work? Like, he's the lover of my soul. He sent his one only son to die for me. He cares about me immensely. That's why I want to please. That's whose approval I'm seeking. He's the one that's going to take me through life if I get to live till I'm 70 and 80 and work all those years. He's the one who's going to be faithful to the end. He's the one who I'm going to ultimately stand before. He's the one whose approval I need to be seeking. And so it's kind of interesting because there's examples of this also with Peter later on in Acts. And he was told, hey, you know, you shouldn't preach in this name. Like, you got to stop doing this. And he's like, hey, you tell me, what's it right to do? To obey man or to obey God? I'm going to obey God. I'm not seeking man's acceptance or approval. I want to please God. There had been some victory there, right? He didn't want to compromise. He wanted to please God because I think he knew there was a great treasure laid up for him. And not only that, he also knew the joy that he had on the inside when he was walking faithfully to his Lord and Savior. And so I put this forth mainly because I think this is something that all of us can struggle with. Probably from almost two or three, you can see 2 or 3 year olds even can start to become concerned what people are thinking up until our last breath. There's a temptation to be concerned what men think, but believe me, it's a snare. It is going to hinder us spiritually. For some, it will keep them from the kingdom. For some, they were not willing to confess when that guy had been healed who had done it because they were seeking the approval of the Pharisees and they weren't willing to be associated with Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because they didn't want to be kicked out of the temple. They were part of a religious system and they were seeking these men's approval more than that of God. And so we need to take it seriously because it will hinder us greatly. Maybe we can just pray and close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask that you would help all of us, Lord, in our hearts to be able to overcome that desire to be accepted or seen by men in a certain way, that we wouldn't be seeking their approval, their acceptance, their popularity, but Lord, that we would be able to renew our minds and get our eyes fixed upon you and see how much you love us and you care for us and how you're the Almighty One. And Lord, that we would really long to hear you say, well done, each day. Lord, that we would want to please you. And Lord, we wouldn't be able to be bound up in these internal battles, but that we could be free from them because we have our eyes fixed upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.